may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 2, if you would. I would remind you to pray for the funeral service on Wednesday of the Sadowski's granddaughter. Once again, it'll be here at 2 o'clock. If you can attend, I know that would be a blessing and a comfort to them. Also, pray for me, all right, on the back issue. And somebody said, was any better? Well, it kind of comes and goes, all right? So, but as long as I can stand here, I can preach, all right? So we're just going to try to do it. And I guess if I get where I can't stand here, we're going to figure out a way to sit here and do it. But because don't want to quit preaching, that's for sure. Jeremiah chapter 2, if you will, look down in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Amen. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now, I announced to you this morning, I'm going to preach tonight on the subject of the switch is on. Now, Jeremiah is prophesying to the nation and to the kingdom of Judah about 639 B.C. So, hey, we're talking about 2,700 years ago. And oftentimes people today that are not Bible believers especially, but even sometimes people that are Bible believers, they look at a book like the book of Jeremiah, a book of prophecy specifically aimed at the nation of Judah, specifically pointed to them, and they think, well, hey, what in this book could possibly apply to us, and what could it have for us? Well, the answer is simple. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, all right? History has a tendency to repeat itself because we fail to learn from history. And these words that are written here in chapter 2 could have easily been written to the United States of America today.
Yes, sir.
Easily been written to us. We're guilty of doing the same thing that the citizens of Judah did. We're in the midst of a time, I believe, and a movement to switch gods.
That's right.
You said, preacher, we're not switching. Okay, I'm not talking about you and me individually.
Right.
But I believe the switch is on today from the God of the Bible to the God of government.
Amen.
And we're seeing that slowly take place. It
has
taken place in other nations, and they've turned their back on God, and they do their best to eradicate God from even the memory of the people themselves. And sometimes I think our nation is switching from the God of the Bible to just any old God that might be substituted in his place. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, look with me in verse 8, all right? Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. Hey, the truth is we see the trusted officials could no longer be trusted in that day. The priests, the pastors, the prophets, they couldn't be trusted. These were the leaders of the nation, and those leaders could not be trusted, all right? The Bible said they hadn't searched for the Lord. They didn't go to him, all right? He even it says it in verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt?
Yes.
I mean, when they got into problems, they got into troubles, it wasn't a search for God. that had led them and helped them and preserved them in the past.
Right.
Instead, they don't even look towards him at all right?
Amen.
Instead, they're content to follow after those who didn't bring any profit to the nation, didn't bring any profit to the individual. Really, what they began to do is follow man-made tradition. And we're content to do that. Now, I submit to you, we have the same problem today. I submit to you, we have the same problem in our land. Verse 8 says, they that handle the law knew me not. They that handle the law knew me not.
I'll
be honest with you, I think we're living in a time in our land where fewer and fewer of those that are the lawmakers of our land know God at whatsoever. Just within the last few weeks, there was almost a conversation, a confrontation in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. And I want to quote to you some of what was said. The representative by the name of Greg, I think it's Stube, of Florida, made this statement. He said, whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences.
Amen.
We are seeing the consequences of rejecting God here in our country today.
Amen.
Now, if I'd have been there, I'd have wanted to holler, amen!
Amen. Yes, sir.
We are seeing that.
That's exactly right.
But there was another representative there in the House. He's Jerry Nadler of New York. Here's what he said. What any religious tradition describes as God's will is no concern of this Congress. Nobody reprimanded him.
Nope, no, huh?
Nobody questioned him. They just took it.
Right.
Hey, that viewpoint's becoming more and more prevalent in our nation's Congress.
True.
You say, how do you know that? As evidenced by the laws that are passed,
yes, sir,
putting our government's approval and protection upon every kind of perversion. I start to say that you can imagine actually things we could never have imagined. And it's being approved, all right? Could I just say to Mr. Nadler, it's not religious tradition he needs to worry about. It's an almighty God that he better worry about. Because he'll stand before that God whose word he ignores and disregards and says is of no concern to this Congress, and he'll answer to that God for that one of these days. But say, that wasn't the way we started, okay? That wasn't the way our nation began. Well, what's happened? Well, we've got leaders we can no longer trust to lead. It's not just those who are in charge of the law. Just like in Judah's day here, in Jeremiah's day, in the nation of Judah, great numbers of pastors in this land no longer even preach the truth, much less stand on the truth of the Word of God. You can tune in to numerous programs and never hear much, if any, Bible given. All right? Hardly anything. Those fellows basically become hirelings catering to the desires of a congregation who want a feel-good doctrine rather than somebody getting up there and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what the Word of God says. But we're fed a constant thing of philosophy, and we're fed psychology. What a shame. He said, "Preacher, that's not what goes on here." No, but I'm talking about so many places in the nation. Hey, listen, years ago, 75 years ago, 80, you could have walked into a Methodist church and got enough gospel to get saved. You could have gone into a Presbyterian church and got enough gospel to get saved. I'll be honest with you, there's very few Methodist churches or Presbyterian churches that will give you enough gospel now to be saved. But worse than that, as a Baptist, there's a lot of Baptist churches won't give you enough gospel to be saved today. I mean, we've departed from that, all right? Departed from it all the way. Yet those leaders in that day couldn't be trusted. And we're getting today where those leaders can't be trusted either, all right? Cannot be trusted to give the truth of the Word of God. What's going on is we've made a bad swap, okay? I told you the switch is on, all right? Christians are part of it. Christians have forsaken what they had. Jeremiah says, hey, you've forsaken the fountain of living waters. Hey, in the blessed God and Savior of the Bible, we have the fountain of living waters. Man, you and I have the privilege of drinking at the spring of living water anytime we desire to go there, all right? What a blessing. Never goes dry. Never goes dry. That spring's always running well. It's never failed to produce the sweetest water there is, all right? The sweetest thing for your soul you could ever desire, he produces that, and it still produced that way. It's never failed to satisfy all who had come to him, and all would come there and to drink. But for some reason, we live in a day where folks have become convinced that water is no longer good enough. We've taken away from that. We've come away from this old book, all right, and what the Word of God says from that fountain of living waters, and now we've substituted what man can produce. Notice, the Bible said there, they forsook the fountain of living waters and they hewed them out cisterns. Cisterns. We're talking about something that's man-made, okay? We're talking about something that's man-made. Now, it's hard for us today to relate to this. It really is. It's hard for us to relate to drinking at a spring. Very difficult for us. The truth of the matter is, most of us here have never done that. Most of us have never done that. Most people in the United States today have never drunk at a spring. We just never have, all right? One thing, we're afraid. Because we look at everything now, we think, I wonder if it's polluted. We think we need to boil everything, all right? I remember watching a news show. It used to be Four Country Reporter, Texas Country Reporter now, I think. And he talked about going to a spring over in East Texas, and there was a pipe coming out, and the water just ran all the time, pure as it could be. That water is usually just as cool, and boy, it's just got a flavor to it that nothing else will compare to, all right? But the Bible said, well, what we did, what God's people did, said, we don't want that living water anymore. We want to find something. We want to hew us out a man-made cistern, something made by the hand of man. Hey, if that wasn't bad enough, the Bible said they didn't just hew out cisterns, but broken cisterns. Broken cisterns that'll hold no water, all right? Instead of that which is sweet and cool and fresh, men have switched to that which is stagnant and tepid and stale. We'd rather have that, all right? We'd rather have a man's substitute than that which God has provided. But man's substitute never gets the job done. Never gets the job done. It will not work. Will not work. Never has worked. And it will not work. You say, what's been substituted? Here's what's been substituted. We've substituted, as I mentioned, philosophy and psychology for the direct Word of God. Direct Word of God. The largest church in the nation now, I understand, is in Houston. And the fellow that speaks there talks, holds up the Bible when he, or holds up a Bible when he starts and talks about it and then hardly ever mentions anything in it. Doesn't use the Word of God. He doesn't say, here's what the Scripture says. And when challenged, he says, I'm just going to leave that up to God. He doesn't have the guts to stand on the Word of God. Doesn't stand for that, all right? Hey, pulpits that were once filled with a Bible-believing and a Bible-preaching man have become counseling centers. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not against biblical counseling. But would you hear me just for a moment? If there was more Bible preaching and people would come, they'd get in the house of God and they'd listen, they wouldn't need so much counseling. They'd get it from the pulpit. They'd get it from the Word of God. The biggest part of the people that have ever asked me for counseling, the majority of them are people that won't come to church faithfully. They don't come to church. The usual first thing I counsel them is, well, you need to start coming to church. I said, you need to be in church every service. You just need to come. It'll do you good. Okay, preacher. I ain't seen them. I've started changing my counseling. Now when they come in, the first thing I say is, now listen, you want me to try to help you. You want me to try to give you some advice. I want to ask you this question. Will you do what I say? Because if you won't, let's not waste my time or yours either one. Go on home. Go on home. Hey, that's the problem. But we live in a time where people, we've filled up pulpits with men that no longer preach the Word of God. Man, I could talk to you about churches that used to be outstanding churches where they had a real man of God that stood behind the pulpit and preached the Word of God. Today, no. It's more of a feel-good doctrinal thing. It's, let's just kind of have a casual atmosphere and let's not get too hard on the preaching, and we don't want to do that. I read just this week in a publication I get from time to time, this fellow that put it out said he was at a meal with a pastor, and the pastor said, "Preacher, I just don't want to split my church over something like that." And the guy said, "Wait a minute, whose church?" Can I say something to you? First Baptist Church, Haltom City, is not my church in the sense that it belongs to me. This is the Lord's church. It doesn't belong to me. Now, God put me here as the pastor, and I'm going to do my best to preach and lead you in the way I should. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to splitting my church, it's not my church, it's His church. And if it splits over Bible preaching, then so be it, all right? So be it. Now, do I want that? Heavens, no. No, not on your life. But we've switched the preaching of the Word of God for psychology, sociology, and philosophy, and help you to feel better. Just help you to feel better where you are. Look, I'm of the opinion if you're not right, you don't need to feel good about where you are. You're wrong. Years ago, my dad and I visited these folks, used to come to church. They'd quit coming, went to see them. The lady in the family told us. We sat down to visit with them, said, "Well, when I go there and I leave, I just feel guilty all the time. And I don't want to go into church and feel guilty." Now, I wasn't the guy doing the conversation. I was the silent partner. But the first thought that occurs to me is, I don't know how y'all are, but I usually don't feel guilty unless I am guilty. That's when I feel guilty, okay? That's when I feel guilty. Now, I've sat many times under the preaching of the Word of God and felt guilty. But I never thought, "I'm leaving here. Man, if that's all they're going to do is make me feel bad, I'm leaving." No, I said, "Thank God, I need to get right with God. I need to get right with God. But if I'm right with God, I don't have any problem." I'll be honest, if somebody stood here and preached for 3 solid hours against the evils of bootlegging, I could shout amen and glory to God, never feel guilty. I've never been involved in bootlegging. Never have, all right? And now some of my kinfolks, not too distant, have been involved, but I wasn't, okay? I wasn't. I wouldn't feel guilty. But here's the problem. Now we have preachers, we don't want anybody to feel guilty. Look, I want you to be right with God. I want you to be right with God. But we've made that switch. Hey, the truth is we've switched to plans and programs instead of depending on the power of God. I'm not against programs. I'm not against maybe, outlining a program and everything. But the truth of the matter is what we need is the power of God. We're dependent upon that. That's what they were dependent upon in the early church. And then when the power of God got involved, man, God did amazing things. But when we figure that I can count on my program and my plan, I don't need the Holy Spirit, hey, we're not going to get much. We're not going to get much done. But we've switched from the pure Word of God, and that's the King James Bible, to a so-called more accurate or easier to read updated language version. Hey, a book like that is a weak book. And it, with no power, it produces weak churches filled with weak Christians. Weak Christians. I don't know about you, but I can remember as a kid when Bad things happened. I would be in school, and somebody in the school or somebody real close to the school would lose their life in a tragedy. When I was a freshman, sophomore, when I was a freshman or a sophomore in college, one of the fellows that had graduated the year before from my high school, where I went, and was a star football player, had a privilege to go to TCU on a scholarship to play football for them, was shot and killed. Now, he was shot and killed. But you know what? The next day, they didn't fill the high school up with counselors so we could deal with it. Because people learn to deal with things. But we live in a day of very weak people, and they cannot deal with things. Can't deal with anything whatsoever. And the whole idea is, let's kind of get you through it. We've had that in the church. We have Christians that are such weak Christians. They can't handle anything. A little strong preaching and they quit. A little strong preaching and they depart, all right? If you're that weak a Christian, you need something. I say this all the time. What's produced, I think, today in the big mega churches is a paper-thin Christianity. Very thin Christianity. It doesn't lead to people really giving of themselves to God with a great desire to serve God. But it's a very thin thing, a very veneer of Christianity. Doesn't take much to shake those folks up. It doesn't take much to make them quit going to church. Doesn't take much to make them give up on God. Hey, we've made that switch. We've made the switch from the command of God to the desire of man. You say, what do you mean? I mean, today, if a man wants to do something, the command of God is no longer considered. If man wants to do something, the command of God is no longer considered. This is especially true in the realm of sexuality. Could I invite your attention this evening to Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews chapter 13. And could I just point out to you, this is still in the Bible. It hasn't been taken out. Hebrews chapter 13, would you look with me at verse 4? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. The Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Folks, that verse is still in the Bible. That verse still there, hasn't changed. So what are you saying? One thing I'm saying to you, God's word condemns all physical relationships between men and women outside the bounds of matrimony. Condemns it. It is condemned. There's no approval put on it. But we live in a day where it seemingly, more and more so, is folks... The first thing to do is move in together, and later, maybe later, they'll get married. We get things out of kilter. Hey man, this whole thing's messed up. I remember when dating was getting together and going and having a good time, maybe playing putt-putt or going bowling, or go-kart riding or something along that line, or going to a church activity, just for the fun and the pleasure of being together. I'm going to tell you, that's not what dating is today. That's not what dating is today in the general population. The sad thing is, it's becoming rarer and rarer among God's people that profess His name. We live in a day where dating means going to bed with one another. Hey, listen, can I say it to you plainly? God condemns that. God condemns that. Homosexuality is condemned by God, but it's condoned by our government. I can remember thinking, I doubt that'll ever be. But now what's going on is beyond belief. all the transgender stuff, some knucklehead made a statement the other day that you can't tell the gender of a child at birth. That doesn't come until later when that person or individual figures out what they are. What a retarded approach. And I realize I just use a word that is not popular, all right? But stupid, retarded, what's your word, all right? How ignorant can you be to make a statement like that? And people go, oh, yeah. No. Hey, what a weird day we've lived in. God still judges that kind of activity. Folks who can't figure out why they have so much trouble in the flesh might want to look at their conduct. Might want to compare what their life is to what the Word of God says. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We've made the switch. We've made the switch. All of that stuff today is under the protection of the government, and they want to protect it to the extreme, even with the passage of what's known as the Equality Act. And it's my understanding it's already passed, I think, the House. And now they're trying to get it to pass the Senate. And that will immediately take away your freedom of religion. Because they're saying that they're not going to allow any exceptions to okay in and accept in any kind of behavior just on religious grounds. Well, I'll be honest, my grounds are not religious. They're Bible. They're Bible. And I said this morning, that law passes, it'll make me a lawbreaker just like that. I refuse to change what I believe from the Word of God based on the demented, disoriented lack of reasoning on the part of lawmakers who are trying to be so inclusive that nothing is ever wrong anymore. Hey, listen, the Word of God says, gives us the truth, you can count on it. When it comes to gender, the final word on gender is found in Genesis, where God says, male and female created he them. That's it. That's it. Now, you can dream up everything you want to dream up. You can just, whatever you know, your mind can float out there, but it doesn't change the facts. Doesn't change it a bit. It's kind of like thinking, well, I can grab those two wires right there and it won't bother me. Well, you can believe that all you want to. But grab them and see how it turns out, all right? Just see how it won't change it. Won't change it. So what's happened? We've made the switch. We've made the switch in this day to where we want to trust government rather than God to take care of us and to provide our needs. But my Bible in Philippians 4:19 still says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But we live in a day where we've been encouraged, don't look to God, but look to government. And the government encourages, look to us. We'll take care of you. We'll take care of you. And just, I'm going to go ahead and state it out there. Our president wants to institute education starting with three-year-olds in school. Now, I just want to say this to you. When you do that, what you have is not education. What you've got is indoctrination. I'll be honest. I don't think a child of God ought to have their child in a government school for no amount of money. They don't need to be there. They need to be out. You can't trust the government school whatsoever. I'm not condemning every teacher that's there. I'm condemning the system, all right? I believe it is dead wrong, all right? But if we can start them at 3 years old, we can start them at 3 years old. You can do that. We can work on them longer. Hey, that's the problem with the demented reasoning of people that now sit in Congress is they were educated through the government education system. And they're just nuts. We're told today we have a right to pretty much everything. I'll never forget. Had a kid in our school one time, and there was trouble and problems. My dad and I were talking to him, and that boy said, well, what about my rights? And my dad gave him the classic answer. He said, son, the only right you have around here is to do what you're told. said, that's the only right you've got to hear. You've got the right to do what you're told. But man, now what are we being told? We got a right to everything. You've got a right to affordable housing. Now, I like the idea of affordable housing, but a right? Hey, they messed it up back there when they said we have a right to kill an unborn baby. You can't fight, we don't have, those are not rights, okay? They're not, they don't exist. Hey, we've messed up the land, all right? We've messed up the land. We've swapped everything, swapped God for government. We'd rather have government take care of everything. I think of Thanksgiving time of the year. At Thanksgiving time of the year, our nation doesn't even know who to thank anymore because proper history isn't taught anymore. Now, we just don't even know where to go with it, all right? We seem to be afraid to call for a regular day of prayer because it might upset somebody. You remember what happened back yonder in 9/11? Remember what took place? Boy, immediately after 9/11, church attendance increased. It jumped. It was boosted. It was boosted. But my, how quickly we forget. How quickly we wander away. Hey, we've spent so much time in our nation praising diversity, we've departed from our founding focus. The founding focus of our land wasn't diversity. Wasn't diversity, all right? Our nation was founded on a solid foundation of Judeo-Christian principles. It wasn't built on Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or any other belief system at all. And anybody who says that is either just intentionally lying or woefully ignorant, all right? Woefully ignorant of one of the two, all right? Now what's happened is our land has switched away from that foundation. Now, if you know anything about building, truth of the matter is the foundation is probably the most important part of a structure if you want it to last. Got to have a good foundation. You undermine the foundation and the building will collapse. That's why our land is on the brink of collapse. Our land's on the brink of collapse. You said, preacher, I sure am glad I came to church tonight. I can walk out feeling so good and encouraged. Look, we can cover up the truth. I can pat you on the back and send you on your way, but it won't help you. Now, I do think there's a remedy. I do think there's a remedy. Now, you and I, as individuals, may not be able to fix everything, but we have an obligation to stay faithful to our God. We have an obligation to stay faithful to Him. He's the one that said to you and I, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then that means you and I shouldn't leave Him. We shouldn't leave Him. If He's promised that He'll stay with us, He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us, then it's our obligation to stay faithful to that God. I tell you what you can do, you can preserve your own home. You can preserve your own home. And not just right now for this minute, but work to perpetuate the truth in your own family, in your own children, and pass that down the line. Work at it. Work at it. My wife and I, we went and ate lunch today at a restaurant. And I just want to give you an illustration, all right? We were sitting in a restaurant. We're sitting here at this table, and right over here, there's this table, and there was a young man there that was, oh, man, he's at least 14, 15, right? He's at least 14 or 15 years old. He sat there in that restaurant the whole time with a hooded fleece on, with the hood over his head, eating. The preacher, what's wrong with that? Man, if you don't see a problem, I see it as a problem with our culture. Problem with our culture. We've messed it up. I couldn't imagine, for a moment I would have thought, I could imagine me 60, 55 years ago, I'd have been, 12 years old, 55 years ago, I can imagine me sitting at the table in a restaurant with my parents with a hooded over my head eating. It would have never happened. It would have never happened. I mean, it just wouldn't have. Because my parents taught me some things. My parents taught me some things. They passed some things down to me. And not to be mean, not to be cruel, but here's our problem today. Our problem today is we look at it, we say, well, it's teenagers, you know. They sort of got their own culture. No, that's happened because we've not passed the right culture down to them. Now, we've not passed it down. That's why teenagers today think it's real classy to wear a pair of blue jeans that look like the dogs chewed on both legs. Not only will they wear them, but they'll pay extra money for them. But the reason they do is because there's adults that wear that out in public as a fashion statement. When I was younger, as a kid, we'd have looked at that and said, man, those folks are poor. We would have put patches on them as long as we could have, but they wouldn't have been the public clothes. That would have been what we worked in. So, preacher, what's wrong with it? We got problems in the culture. And that's just a symptom. It is just an illustration. We no longer want to pass things down to our family. We no longer do it. That's why you see kids sit in a restaurant with their feet in the chair the whole time they eat the meal. Man, did nobody teach you anything? What is wrong? Hey, we've quit passing stuff down. Listen, I challenge you. If you have children, if you ever have children, if you got grandkids, whatever you do, don't spoil them. Train them. Train them. They need some help. And if their parents won't do it, step up, okay? And let them know, hey, that's not the way you do things. That's not the way to do it. That's not the proper one. Well, my friends are doing it. Well, your friends have mental problems. We understand that, okay? But I'm going to help you. You don't have mental problems, all right? And just train them. Well, we've quit doing that, all right? Hey, we need to do it. We need to do it. We ought to preserve our own home. We ought to serve to perpetuate the truth in our children. And especially, not just cultural, not just manners, but the truth of the Word of God. Pass it down. Act like it's important. I passed somebody the other day that used to come occasionally, just a little bit, here to church. And I stopped and I spoke to him. And I thought to myself, what a shame. I know they raised one child, said he was an atheist. And now I wonder, they've got grandchildren that are at least teenagers, I'm sure. And I wonder if any of them are saved. Any of them are saved. Now, the grandparents, the one I talked to, those two, the husband and wife, both there, have a testimony, good testimony, they got saved. Well, wait a minute. What have you done if you've lived your life and your family goes to hell? What have you accomplished? What in the world's been accomplished if you go to heaven, but your children and your grandchildren go to hell? Because you quit on them. Oh, listen, can I say that's our job? That's something we can do. That's something we can do. Another thing, we can support a church and a preacher that still stands for the old-time religion. We can stand by them, stand with them. Hey, we ought to demand that, all right? Stick with it, all right? Stick with it. Folks, listen, the future of our nation and the future of any nation has always been in the hands and the lives of believers. Always been in the hands and the lives of believers. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 has been used millions of times. But the truth is that's in that verse, it's if my people. He says, I'll hear your land, but who's he talking about? He said, if my people. If my people. Listen, the challenge for you and I is to keep living for God. The challenge for you and I is to turn from our wicked ways and repent, call upon God to humble ourselves. That's the challenge for God's people. The problem is so many churches that used to be that way, they've gone and swapped what they've taught for the man-made stuff. but it's still in the hands of God's people. It's still in our hands, still in our lives. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can change everything. You can change something. You can maintain your life. You can maintain your home. You can pass along the truth to your family. You can get it to them. They need it. They need it in the worst way. They need it in the worst way. Man, so many times churches have become just social clubs. Listen, stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to the Word of God. Man, I'm concerned about our country. I'm concerned about our land. I'm concerned that we've become the people that want our hand out all the time this way rather than this way. We're not willing to give. All we're interested in is getting. Hey, and it means we have to give of ourselves. It means we have to take a stand. It means we have to let our voice be heard. It means we've got to be willing to be the off-scouring of the earth. We've got to do that. Listen, God's put in our hand. Jeremiah stood up and called for his people to repent. His people to repent. You say, preacher, I don't have a national platform. Neither do I. But I know this. I go into homes where people are living. I go into homes where people are living together and haven't been married. And I say, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Most of the time, with one exception, when I've talked to people about that, I've said, you wouldn't want your children to follow your example, would you? Most of the time, one exception, they've said no. One person, I said, well, I don't know. Maybe it'd be all right if they tried, just rather than have to go through divorce. But I tell you that doesn't have to be an option, okay? Doesn't have to be an option. What I'm saying to you is you and I can stand for right. We can talk to people. Every time that opening is given, we need to spread the truth. We need to remind people about the Word of God. Now, I'll be honest with you, I think we need to remind God's people about the Word of God. Because we've gotten away from it, we've turned away from it. We've quit thinking about just as they had in that day and thinking about the Lord that had brought them through the wilderness and he had led them through that land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt, and he brought you into plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof. We've forgotten what he's done. We've forgotten what he's done. Our land was a lot more godly when people were not so prosperous. We weren't so prosperous when we didn't have all the stuff that we have today, that people today think, I can't do without it. I talk to 10-year-old kids that tell me they can't do without this. I just can't do without my phone. I said, well, who in the world do you talk to that you got to have that? Hey, we're raised in such a materialistic society. Can I just say this to you? You and I need to take a stand for God. We need to keep pulling people back to the Lord. We need to witness to folks everywhere we go. We need to be a witness to them. We need to remind Christians, hey, listen, do you ever stop and think maybe you're making a mistake? Maybe you're making a mistake. Well, I just want my kids to have it better than I did. I never said that. I never said that. I'm glad my kids grew up for many years in a house that wasn't central heat and air. I'm glad they knew what it was to wake up in the winter and it'd be cold as all get out in their room. And you'd run to the bathroom where we had the heater going and go, man, there's a little warmth in here, you know. My wife and I, earlier days, I'd lay in the bed hoping she'd get up and light the heater. The only reason that didn't work, she was laying over there hoping I'd do the same thing, all right? Hey, yeah, that was good. It was good for them. It was good for me. I didn't want mine to have it any better than me. I wanted them to know what a little hardship was like. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Listen, you and I, we know the truth. We know the Word of God. We've got to tell people. We've got to tell people. We've got to remind folks. It's our job. It's our job. Don't just say, well, let somebody else do it. No, it's our job. Pass things along. Pass things along. You say, well, I've tried to talk to my kids, but they do. I don't care. Try again. Now, I'm not saying get up and, you know, hammer it home. But every now and then, man, you know, hey, when you're up and you're alone with the grandkids, you talk to them. Just spend a little time with them. Spend a little time. God help us to see it's in our hands, okay? We can pray, but we need to live right. We need to stand for what's right. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Help us see we have an obligation for our land. Lord, the truth of the matter is I look at our country and I think we have swapped the fountain of living waters for a broken cistern that won't even hold water. Lord, we've seen that not just in government, but Lord, we've seen it in the realm of faith, in the realm of the church, where we've changed the doctrine, we've changed the emphasis. It's not on the power of God to change lives, but instead it's a lesson in positive thinking, and if you'll think good thoughts, good things will happen. God, would you help us? Help us to call men back to repentance. Help us to point people to Christ. Lord, this old world still needs the Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us and use our testimony that we might be a blessing to our land. We'd not be a burden, we'd not be part of the problem, but Lord, help us to be part of the remedy. And help us to labor at it until you come again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand together tonight? Listen, if you need to pray, the altars are open. And however God might lead you tonight, maybe pray for your family or something, whatever, the altar's here. You come while we sing. All right, come on.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Just one more verse, would you sing it?
Have thine own way,
Lord, have thine own way. I pray, power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you enduring the message. I was just thinking I left out more than I put in. There's so much more could have been said. But, hey, you and I have an obligation. I hope we'll stand and we'll not let the world sway us. And we'll not make the switch that so many in this world are making today. Let's be dismissed tonight in the word of prayer, if you would. Brother Dunbar, would you dismiss us, please? Hey.